Let's stand together. Briefly, we're going to read out of Ruth chapter number 1. Ruth chapter number 1. We looked in the book of Ruth last week. I had planned on just a couple messages in Ruth, but I think we're going to have a few more as I've been looking through it. Ruth chapter number 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 6, and then we're going to skip down to verse 19 and read 19 through 22. Ruth chapter 1, and we'll start in verse number 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the son was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephraimites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. Mahlon and Chilion died, both of them, also both of them. The woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Now let's go down to verse 19. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. It came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them, and they said, "Is this Naomi?" And she said unto them, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with them, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came in Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. And let's pray. Father, I pray you'd bless us this evening and the time that we have. I pray you'd help us to get from this passage what you would want us to get, to encourage us to be faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Last week we started in the book of Ruth in chapter 1, and we went through the whole story. And so we read some of these verses we read last week. As we ponder our subject for tonight, we have to understand something. Christians don't always do the right thing. Many times we make the wrong decisions, we make the wrong choices in life. And if we're not careful, that can cause us to get away from the Lord, to get away from God and our relationship with Him and the place where He would want us to be. Because of that, they suffer consequences, and their relationship with God is hurt. We see this in the Bible. Remember Peter. Peter, who swore up and down to Jesus that he would not forsake him, even though everybody else did. What happened when push came to shove? He forsook his Lord. Demas, who traveled with Paul, eventually started drifting, and Paul said, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Think about David with Bathsheba, how he made some bad decisions. He should have been at war, and he decided to stay home, and he wasn't doing anything. He was just kind of hanging out and leisurely looking out of his balcony, and he saw a lady in a compromising position and wasn't his wife. And fact of the matter is, he didn't need another wife. He had several of them. But when you're in that kind of state of mind and you're not careful, he called her up, and you know the story there. So it's not something that's just preacher talk. It's biblical. There's people in the Bible that got away from God. Also, we see it in life. I could give you illustration after illustration. I remember a good buddy of mine that was in Bible college. He was from church, and he was from a good church in Michigan. He had a good pastor, good man. I remember his pastor came and preached in our college chapel, and I got to meet him. I say hi to him, meet him, because my buddy was his friend. And I didn't really hear much about it. And many, many years later, we went back to a pastor school back at our old place. This is several years after we had left, And that pastor I had met came up and gave a testimony at the pastor school to thousands of Christian workers and pastors. And he talked about how, as a pastor, he made some bad choices and got away from God and became an alcoholic. Now, he was there to promote, at that time, the infancy, the RU ministry, which was helping people to get out of that. But he had lost his wife, and she had left him years ago, and his family, and everything blew up. He got away from God. I remember years ago, we stopped at a church on vacation. I was very, very impressed with the church. Never heard of it before. We were just going on vacation, and we were driving on the path, and I got on the internet, and I'm like, I thought some little small church we'll go to in the middle of nowhere. It was a small town. I thought, you know, my family, there's a million of us in our family. You go in there, Sunday night service, you know, we're going to be noticeable because of, you know, small church in the middle of nowhere. We went to this church, and it was Sunday night, some little small town. It was packed out. Fact of the matter is, they were in a storefront, a big one, and they were packed out, and they had another room where they had a video, and that room was packed out. They cleared out the second row for my family. They put Josiah on the front row, which was a mistake. While we were driving after Sunday morning church, he put his Hawaiian shirt on, and it was like bright yellow. And you could just tell him right there, and he was like 6 or 7. I'm like, don't you dare breathe heavy. Okay, you behave yourself, boy. And I just remember I was very, very impressed with that church. And they good young people. The pastor was really energetic. He was doing a great job. And then several years later, I heard that the church had fired him. He showed up to work drunk. A pastor. By the way, if I show up to work drunk, it's your fault, okay? You drove me to it. Just fire me. And that the story doesn't end there, and I know the backstory, and it was tragic, and his family was destroyed. So the point I'm making, sometimes people make bad decisions, they get away from God, and the consequences are just horrific. We need to be careful. That's what we see here in Ruth chapter 1. In Ruth chapter 1, a family that lived, God's people living in Israel, living in Bethlehem, and they left because there was a little drought, and they got frustrated for whatever reason, and they decided to go down to Moab, and they're in Moab, and they shouldn't have been there. And they're there, and the husband dies. The sons marry two ladies. By the way, ladies, God said they should not have married. You say, well, I know the end of the story. Ruth turns out to be right. That is only by the grace of God. God interceded in that situation because Naomi came to trust in him. Because Ruth came to trust in him. But the fact of the matter is they should never have been there. And their family is messed up, and Naomi is bitter and having issues. And finally, what we'll look at today, she actually does one thing right in this chapter. One. She decides that it's time to go home. That's it. Tries to talk her daughters-in-law out of it. Says bad things. You know, she blamed God. That was the whole message last week. But she made that one decision. I'm going to go home. That was a good decision. Now, I'm going to look at this story, this decision, from two aspects. There's two decisions I see related to this concept in this chapter. One that she made, the other that she should have made. One that's a good decision, the other which is the best decision, the one she didn't make. The good decision was, I'll go home. The best decision is, I should have just stayed home. You know, Satan too often gets us as Christians to choose the good over the best. Now, I don't know about you. If I'm offered two things, I'll always take the one that's best, unless I have to give to somebody else and be a Christian or whatever, and I'll get over that. I mean, if I go out to eat, and they're like, we can go to De Wiener Schnitzel, and I know I hate McDonald's, and I think that you're a sinner if you eat there, especially if you drive a Ford when you go. But I kind of like the Wiener Schnitzel. I know Brother Pichardo does because I see the coupons on his desk. I'm like, brother, share the wealth, amen? I don't know, something about that chili dog that just makes me happy. Okay, let's get back to the Bible. Okay. Is there anybody else that's your RU moment? You like the Wiener Schnitzel? I got you. The Wiener Schnitzel. But if you put the Wiener Schnitzel here and said, you can have the Wiener Schnitzel, or you can have a steak. brother, I'll take the steak and I'll use the Wiener Schnitzel for lunch. But I'm going to take what's best. Satan gets us in our Christian life to be content with settling with something that's good when we ought to be taking what God tells us is the best. So what is that all about? You see, Satan is he plays both sides of the fence. He's very shrewd. When you're there, he says, you know what? You ought to get out of here. There's something better. And then when you want to come back, he's like, why go back? You've already blown it. Very, very shrewd. He plays both sides. But tonight, I just want to look at those two decisions. And I want to share a couple of thoughts about each one of those. The first one is the category we mentioned. It's good to come home. And by the way, I'm not going to get on her. She did decide to finally go home. Too many people get away from God or they make bad decisions in certain areas of their life and they never do make that change and come back to where they should be. And that's tragic. But I want to encourage you about coming home in several areas, despite what you may have lost. You see, if you look at verse 5, she lost her husband. She lost her sons. She lost a lot. And if she wasn't careful, she could have had the fact that she was already losing keep her from getting back to where she wants to be. That's what Satan does. You lose something, it's like, well, I already blew that, so I might as well. No. Don't let them do that. It's better to come home if you've lost a little bit than to stay out there and lose everything. Coming back to God with less than what you left is better than staying out with what you got. Say, what does that mean? I have no idea what I just said. But come back. Don't look at what you lost. You ever hear the phrase, cut your losses short? Sometimes you need to do that. Okay? Remember in the 90s when the internet first took off, they had what they called the dot-com boom. And that was the next gold mine. And everybody was going to make money. And all these companies were opening up. I remember there was one that was called Pets.com. They used to, their advertisement was the little sock that was like a dog. And everybody was like, I want to get in on this. And they were opening up this, here's my plan. And people were like, boom, throwing money at them. Not realizing they weren't making any money. Well, it's going to happen someday. What happened to 95% of those places? They all went under. Because at some point the investors said, we're not making any money, we're losing money, it's time to cut our losses short. That's what we need to do sometimes. What, is there an area of your life you've kind of gotten away from God and things aren't going well? Cut your losses short and get back. Don't let the fact that things aren't going well keep you from not coming back. Finally, Naomi had had enough. She said, you know what? It's time to go home. Come back despite what you missed. Verse 6, she heard that in the land that she had left, that God had visited and given them bread. And by the way, that was going to happen. Famine's not permanent. It's ebb and flow. And they got discouraged about what's going on, and they heard, hey, it's better over here, and so I'm going to go to Moab. Well, while they were gone, things kept going pretty good back at home. Maybe the sons would have married better. Maybe her husband would have lived. I don't know. I know this. It would have been better for her to stay than to take those 10 years and go away and face nothing but misery. Don't get fooled. Don't miss out. It's like when you're on the freeway. You ever notice? You're on the freeway. And the traffic's kind of there, and your lane's not going, but the lane next to you is going, right? I know better, Brother Pichardo. I know it. The other day, where I was going somewhere with my wife, and I know that as soon as I get in that other lane, what's going to happen, but I did it anyhow. And I got in the other lane, and guess what? That lane stopped. The only lane that is free to go on is the one to the far side of the freeway. That's that area you can't drive in, okay? But we do it anyhow, right? Like, that lane's moving, I'm going to get over. We get over, it's like, how come this lane stopped? That lane is moving because it's Murphy's Law. It's karma for being a bad driver. But that's how we are. We're looking for something better than what we have, and so we go somewhere else, and we go there, and we miss out on what we had where we were at. By the way, we never see what we have when we're in the midst of it. Isn't that how it is? We start to take things for granted. She missed out on a lot of things. She missed out. How many people have missed out on the blessing of living a spiritual life with God's blessing because they chose to go out in the world and do their own thing? Now, I don't know. I have heard several preachers talk about Elvis Presley. My personal favorite singer, by the way. I'm kidding. I've heard several say they met him. And he, by the way, he was a nice guy. He was the kind of guy, there's several stories about him. He'd be at a car lot and he'd see somebody look at a car and buy him a car. Kind of a nice guy. Now, he perverted the morals of our country. But I've heard several, and I don't know if he was saved, but they said he gave a testimony that, yeah, I'm saved, I just backslid it. I wanted to do my own thing. Now, I don't know if he was or not. I know he has a gospel album, Brother Pichardo's favorite. Listens to it all the time. Now, I don't know if he was or not, but I know this. If he wasn't, he told Frank Sinatra's wife one time. He goes, you know, I would have been better off if I had just decided as a youngster just to stay in church. Now, if he wasn't saved, he did realize there was a better life there. That's what we're going to do someday. We walk away from God, or we start to slip away and we start to do our own thing and things don't turn out well. I wouldn't want to live with regret to look back and say, man, I wish I would have just stayed where I should have been in the first place. I wish I wouldn't have missed out. Also, she came back despite where she was at. Verse 13, she says, it grieveth me much for your sakes, tell it to her daughters-in-law, that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Now, she's making a decision to go home, but if you read that last sentence, she wasn't where she should be spiritually. She's still blaming God. So in the midst of making the right decision, she's still struggling with her attitude. She's still struggling with what had happened in her life. But I'll tell you this, she didn't let that stop her from making the right decision. By the way, some people are like, you know, I know I'm away from God. I know I'm struggling. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to get things right. And once I get my act together, then I'm going to come back to church. It will never happen. Come back just as you are. Where do you think you're going to get the help that you need? Where do you think we're going to get the encouragement we need? We get it at church, so we better get back to that place. We get it with our relationship with God. We better get back to that place, and we get it with our commitment with God. She didn't let it stop her, though. Satan tries to throw everything to tell us, don't worry about it. You're not there yet. She came back despite the fact that she hurt others. Look what she says in verse 13. I divert the quote, what I quoted you, the last point, but she says here to her daughters-in-law, it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord went out against me. She goes, I'm grieved. And she was bitter and all that, but she says the thing that really bothered her is what happened in her daughters-in-law's, in her daughter-in-law's life because of what she did. That they, because of her bad decision, because of her and her husband's bad decision, it caused pain and grief to those two girls. Let me just tell you what the worst thing about getting away from God is if you're an adult. The other people that it hurts. That's it right there. Doing your own thing. But sin is selfish by its very nature. Think about what you're doing. Here's what we think. It is my life. It doesn't matter what I do. It's up to me, and it only affects me. No, it doesn't. It affects others. You can try to sweep that under the rug. You can try to get away from that. But the fact of the matter is, what you do will affect others. Let me say this. If you're married, everything you do affects your spouse. Everything you do affects your spouse. If you want to be ridiculous and go off and get involved in somebody else, you are hurting that person that you made a commitment to. By the way, this person's better. You'll ruin that one too. That's just how it is. We're selfish. And what about your children? Do you understand the effects of your decisions? When Elimelech said, I'm going to go to Moab, it's better. He didn't realize that meant his sons were going to die. That means the daughter-in-laws, if they were going to meet in that land, it was going to cause pain for them. It meant that his wife was going to come crawling back home, bitter and broken. Bad decision. But yet we do it all the time. We make decisions and we don't care who gets hurt. And by the way, if you have children, that is a commitment you made. Well, it was an accident. Well, it's not an accident anymore. And by the way, I get a little sick of this. Our society just needs to grow up. Well, you know, I got married, but I want to have my fun. Well, have fun with your spouse. Amen. Well, I want to have my time with my singles. You should have had that before you got married. You don't need to act like a single. You're married. Oh, what about, I had these kids, but you know, I want to do that. Stop it. Just grow up. Selfish. By the way, you'll be more fulfilled in that relationship with your wife and that relationship with your family than anything you'll find out there. But let's grow up. It hurts others. Not to mention, the fact of the matter is, if you get away from God, you're just hurting the name of Jesus Christ. I feel sorry for Jesus sometimes because of what we do to make him look bad to others. Who was it? Gandhi said, I don't have a problem with Jesus, I have a problem with Christians. You know why? Because of that caste system they have in India, he was interested in the teachings of Christ, and he went to a church and they wouldn't let him in. And he said, fine, I have a problem with Jesus. It's Christians I have a problem with. But yet, he never met the Lord because of that. Got to think things through. Despite who you've hurt. And then lastly, she came back despite how she had changed. Verse 19, and we talked a little bit about this last week. Naomi came home. They knew her. As soon as she walked into the city, the Bible says the people were moved when they saw her. I mean, there was some emotion. There was like, they're like, whoa. And then they asked this question. Is this Naomi? It doesn't look like Naomi. In other words, what they're saying here, the emotion they're giving is, she had changed and not for the better. She didn't look good. They could tell by looking at her that life had been rough. And when she sat there and she mouthed those very words, hey, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. She said, call me bitter, I'm bitter. You know what? They knew that before she ever told them. See, sin hurts you. It hurts you in every single way. I unfortunately, over the years, I've seen it. Been doing this for a long time now. People that thought they know better than God, and they go do something, they come back, and just you see them, it's like, smile's gone. Joy is gone. And it's like, what happened? I know what happened. Serving the wrong master. You feel the way I felt before I got right with God. You're experiencing what I experienced before I got right with God. It used to kill me when I'd go into the youth group in the church. I started going to church 17, 18. I didn't grow up in church, 17, ready to turn 18. I'm looking at the youth group, and I hear these kids talking about, boy, I can't wait. I'm going to go out and do my own thing. And I'm thinking, I just came out from there. You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. There's nothing good out there. It'll eat you up and spit you out. Well, you know what we do? Quit looking at what people are posted on Instagram account. Yeah, you know. Well, they're not serving God. They're happy. Let me just tell you something. The story hasn't been told. And even if their world doesn't blow up, they're missing out on a lot of good things. Well, you know, they say that, no. Now, I've had enough people come back, and they've got a little taste of the world. They come back, it's like, how's it go? It's like, not good. I'm struggling. It's like, that's good. That's a sign that God wants you back. We've talked about it's good to come home, but most of you are here tonight, so I don't think you're away from God. We can apply that, though, because maybe there's areas of our life we're starting to slip, and we can fix those. But let me give an encouragement here. It's good to go home, but you know what it is? It's best to stay home. It's best to stay home. Do you know, in the country where they lived, I'm guessing here, Brother Bichara, but I'm pretty sure this would have happened. There was probably people there that heard, you know, Did you hear Elimelech and Naomi, man? They bailed out. It's getting a little tough. And they decided, you know what? I'm going to go to Moab. I heard there's bread there. Now, I know it's not God's land, but, you know, I wonder if we should go. Man, just for a little while. By the way, they went for a little while. Did you catch that in the verse? They stayed for 10 years. Yeah, I'm just going to go for a little while, and maybe we should do that. It's like, you know what? No, this is God's place, and God will get us through this. Everything's going to be all right. They experienced the same famine. They went through all the same problems. They faced everything everybody else faced, but you know what? They stayed right. They stayed right. Kind of like it reminds me of the prodigal. Several years ago, we taught a whole series on that whole story. But the prodigal, he decides, I want my inheritance. And he's like, fine. He takes his money and he bails. And he wastes his money and he lives righteous living. And he comes home. And we remember the party. And they had a party for him. We remembered he could come back to God and thank God he could come back to God. And then we criticize his brother for having a bad spirit. Now look, his brother should not have had a bad spirit. But I'll tell you something. He was always there. He was always in his spot. He was helping his dad. And a little attitude, we can help him get through that. But let's think of the story. Here comes the son home, and they had the party for him. But guess what happened the next morning? The alarm clock went off, and it's time to go to work. Guess who's the boss? The older brother's the boss. He's the one getting everything. And it's like, and his inheritance was still gone. He's just being taken care of. Hey, let's hear it for those that don't go out. Now, I know we like the stories of, you know, mobster gets saved, quits killing people. Wonderful. You know, this person was part of this, and they got right with God, and God totally changed their life. They were a drug addict, and I love all those stories. Those were the people I hung out with. But you know what the better story is? I never got involved with that. You say, well, I don't have a testimony because I grew up in the church. That's a good testimony. It's better to stay home. For those of us that have been, those of you that have been staying home, see others who have left. Don't try to imitate them. Don't see what they're pushing out there. Sometimes we're tempted to say, I want to do my own thing. Why don't you just do God's thing? That's all. What's good about staying home? Don't miss the blessing of staying home by being drawn out by those who left. Why? Well, if we stay home, it's for protection. You know, it's really good to live right. You're not bulletproof, but there are a lot of things that happen to people that you don't have to worry about. Many years ago, when the AIDS thing was really, really, really hot and heavy, and we still didn't understand it, and can you get it, and they're trying to tell you everybody's at risk, and blah, 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 blah. I was listening to some guy on some Christian radio show back then, many years ago, and he said, I don't have to worry about it. He goes, I have a wife, I'm faithful, I ain't messing around, I ain't doing drugs, I'm good. Unless I go in the hospital and I get a blood transfusion from the wrong thing, I ain't getting it. There's a lot of wisdom right there. There's a lot of things we miss just by doing right. There's protection. They left Bethlehem to go to Moab to avoid starving to death, and what happened? They died anyhow. They ain't gonna get away from that. You want God's protection. Look, the best place to be is in God's will. Best place to be. Whatever God wants for you, if you're there, that's the best place to be. Let's get our eyes off all of the other things. Also, it's best to stay home for provision. You know, the word Bethlehem, that means place of bread. Moab was a place of spiritual death, a place God said, stay away from those people. They were the avowed enemies of Israel. So they left a place of bread to go to a place of spiritual drought, and ta-da, it happened. You know, God can take care of you if you just trust in him. Oh, you may not be rich and you may not be this, but you will have everything that God wants you to have. You don't have to make your own plans. You don't have to say, well, I had to do something. Just do what God wants. God can take care of you if we'll just trust him. Also, another reason we need to stay is for posterity. What do I mean? Naomi lost the next generation. She lost her sons. I know, Ruth, we'll get there later, but just so you know, Ruth did get married again. And she had a baby. But it wasn't Naomi's family. Didn't have her last name, her husband's last name. Didn't happen. She sacrificed that generation by doing what she thought was best. Don't we see that today? By the way, the thing that's nauseating to me is a Christianity in a church that's willing to bring things into the church that may sound cute, that may feed our flesh, that may bring in people that really aren't interested in church, but they like that kind of nonsense, and we're sacrificing our children. You know, someone wants to leave our church, and they want to go to a church that's not of like faith. I'm like, that's fine, but go check their youth group out first, and is that what you want your children to become? See, you're being judgmental. I'm not trying to be judgmental. I'm not saying those kind of churches don't love God. I'm just saying they're sacrificing the next generation. The church I mentioned this morning playing Sympathy for the Devil. Really? I wonder what the kids in that youth group think about God. We're sacrificing the next generation. You know, everything we do in this church is for us, but we have children. And thank God if you could put up with your grandchildren, your children, you get grandchildren. They're much better than children. I wish it was a step you could have just like cut through and got to the grandchildren first. What about them? We're fine and we're just having a good time and it's kind of a flesh show and everything's good. I know, 95% of those kids are walking out of church as soon as they hit high school. Boom, they're gone. I really am not trying to be judgmental here, but you know what really makes me upset? Not upset, but hurt, I guess. Upset's a strong term. I have a lot of friends that I went to Bible college with, good guys, and sometimes they'll, however, try to hook up with you or call or we hear about them. And then they're going to tell you, they got out of church, you know. They're not, I can't do that church thing anymore. That was just too much, you know. How are your kids? Oh, they're great. Mine just got this degree and this. Okay, wonderful. They're in gymnastics, and they're, like, going to go to nationals and all this stuff. And they'll tell you all this stuff their kid's doing, and I'm thinking, can you tell me something about God? Your kid's on a bus route? Are they still going to church? Well, they're not going to church, right, they're this. Like, that's not a big deal. That's what it's all about. Listen, if my kids are going to get, if they're going to get some degree and some job and make all the money and ditch God, I hope they're poor. I hope they just serve God and stay poor. That's more important. That's the big, because if you go back to the last point, God will take care of them. That's what it's all about here. Let's not sell out the future on the altar of the present. And that's what they did. They had no thought about what it was going to do to them that were coming after them. Well, now she had no one else to come after her. Now, thank God Boaz and Ruth took care of her, but come on. And then the last thing, just it's best to stay for positivity. What do I mean? Joy. She was as bitter as all get out. Is this Naomi? Don't call me Naomi. It means pleasant. Don't call me that. Call me Mara. I'm bitter. You ever met a bitter person? Not like someone that's just quiet or whatever, doesn't smile. I mean, I'm talking about full-blown, full-on. If you talk to them, they're going to blast you with both barrels, bitter. I mean, something like that. It's like, brother. You know, when we, many, many years ago, we went to help start a church in Clearwater, Florida, the retirement capital of the world. A lot of gray hairs everywhere, and that's great. You know, I found out that usually we'd go to these old retirement houses and we go in. I found out there was like two categories of older people. Some that were just as sweet as honey and some that were as sour as whatever sour. You know why? It's the way they lived. If they chose this path, it brought bitterness into their life and they were a sour individual. But the ones we would meet and they would know the Lord or they lived that kind of right life and they just had a joy about them. Like, I like that. Joy. God wants us to be joyful. It's a byproduct of how we live. God doesn't want us to spend our days miserable, but if we make bad choices, we will be miserable. What's the point? The point is, I'd rather be like those unnamed thousands that stayed during the famine than to be like Ruth, who came back. Always good decision. But boy, she came back with less.
You say, well, I shouldn't come back. I have so little. Listen, you come back with a little is to better than to quit, to keep losing. But you know what the best decision is? Stay with it. Hey, young people, stay with it. Don't look around what's going on around you. Don't look at the false smiles. Don't look at the nonsense. That looks cool, man. That looks hip. Story's not over. The story's not over. Let's stay with God. It's the best decision you'll ever make. The only regret I would have in my life, I wish, and it wasn't God's plan for me, I wish I would have the first, like all my children, I wish the first Sunday I would have been in the nursery being a holy terror. I probably would have been. I wish I would have grown up. I wish I would have had a first grade Sunday school teacher. Fact of the matter is, the only Sunday school teacher I've ever had is Brother Black when I was at Gethsemane for a while. Because after that, I was teaching Sunday school. And that was for adults. And that's okay. But I wish, well, you know, that wasn't God's plan. But just because you say, well, you got away with it. I got away with it, but I got some scars. And by the way, we have a church of people that have been reached, and a lot of us are in that boat. And you look and say, God worked in their life now. But if you were to go to ask them, they'll say, you know, I wish I wouldn't have had to go through some of those things. And if they have children, they really know, I don't want my children to go through those things. So let's not buy the lie. Let's stay where we're supposed to be and not follow the pressure to do that which isn't right. Let's stand this evening.